SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, SteveBick.com. And hard to believe, 2 weeks from right now, it'll be Oaks Day. It'll be Oaks Derby weekend, leaving later this morning. As soon as we wrap up and as soon as I load the car, we'll be on our way to Churchill Downs and to Louisville for the big Derby fortnight. Always look forward to it. One of the, really, not one of, it's the best in a lot of ways. It's the best 2 weeks of the year. I don't mean to elevate Derby over everything else, but come on. Let's be honest. It's hard not to, right? Well, certainly, as we talk today, there'll be a lot of Derby overshadowing. Certainly, when we check in with Marty McGee will join us to start the morning. Keeneland, of course, continuing, and today the Double Dog Dare, a big full field, and got some results from yesterday. I want to mention that are interesting. Not just from Keeneland either. Wesley Ward, stung by those first two-year-old races of the year, right, at Keeneland. He's won everything since, virtually, and he extended it to New York. I looked it up. I'll give this to Marty. I didn't get a chance to see if they were all two-year-old races. I'm sure they weren't. But since about April 1st, at a glance, Wesley Ward has participated in 16 maiden special weights. So figure 12 of them maybe are two-year-olds. And he's won eight. Yeah, he's won eight of his last 16 maiden special starts. Yeah, so. And that was with losing the two at to Brett Calhoun. So we'll talk to Marty. And, you know, yesterday I retweeted the thing from Matt Hegarty. Matt getting out in front of the Churchill renovations, and I will alert everybody, if you haven't seen those notes, and I'm sure when we do the invocation on Monday with Darren Rogers, we'll touch on it, but your way in and out and your familiarity with Derby procedures and approaching and, you know, where you're going to go and how you, all of that has been modified, and you're going to be stunned actually at what's gone on. So Matt Hegarty alerted everybody yesterday, and I retweeted it, and I will send the link again because of, you know, of what has happened, and you'll be very intrigued, I think, by what they've done. I saw a part of it going on. When was I there? When was I through Louisville last? And I saw the renovations that they never stop. I mean, it's just it's ongoing. But if you go to the website, to the Derby website, KentuckyDerby.com, and under the visitor info, it's changed extensively. So you want to familiarize yourself with this before you end up screaming at some traffic cop. And we'll get all those details from Darren. James Scully will be here. We'll talk to Scully after Marty. And James, I don't think he's looked at much racing for the weekend. However, his first volley of Derby entrant analysis usually breaks it up. I think he's going to break it up into thirds. He talks about seven in this week's Kentucky Derby report, so we'll discuss that with him. We'll wrap up with Scully in terms of the prep season as well. Wendy Davis from the University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program as well this hour. And if you haven't seen this, may have, you know, with everything that goes on, this may have slipped under the radar, but there's going to be the offering of a four-year full tuition scholarship, the Odds On Racing Scholarship, announced this week. And incoming freshmen or transfer students, Wendy's going to lay it all out. And it'd be nice to check in anyway with Wendy Davis. And the school year obviously winding down, and students will head out into the racing industry for summer internships in some cases, a lot of cases. And Wendy Davis to really give you the details. And if you're your son or daughter, and you know, we always talk about how the University of Arizona racetrack program, the industry program, is not confined to 18-year-olds. That's one of the amazing parts about it, is that if you want to change careers and you want to get into the industry, many, many participants, and we talk to them all the time, that are now out and about, out in the world, and scholarship like this, very, really, for those that thought or think, I'd love to do this. Granted, it's one scholarship, but it's really a very nice opportunity and will change somebody's life, undoubtedly. So we'll check in with Wendy. Nick Tamaro, we've had trouble connecting with Nick the last 2 weeks, but Nick is going to join us this morning. We'll get Nick's report from the Keeneland contest, from the Grade 1 Gamble. See, Nick, I mentioned the other day, Nick and my friend Tony Montanino, North Carolina Tony, they flirted. They were in 20th and 10th, and you know, made some little forays over the weekend at Keeneland. So we'll get Nick's take, and I'm sure we'll look at some things, and we'll also get Nick's thoughts heading into Derby as well. Jim Dunleavy, got to see Jim the other day at not just the other day, but really all 4 days that I was at Hot Springs. And he went and helped Mary Rampolini with the coverage for the Daily Racing Forum at Oaklawn for Arkansas Derby and the whole racing festival. And now Dunleavy swings back and back to his Mid-Atlantic coverage. And we'll check in with him ahead of the Charlestown Classic and get quick Charlestown Classic report. I will reach out. Maybe we'll get a minute with, maybe we can get Marcus in for a minute on the Laurel, on the Preakness preview card at Laurel as well. Marcus covering Laurel, pinch hitting in there with Dunleavy at Charlestown. So keeping an eye on that front. Ed DeRosa, of course, check in with Ed. He was with us live last week at Oaklawn Hammer, and yesterday's fundraiser. As difficult a circumstance as it is involving Adrian Valenzuela and the paralysis, they said Hammer said it was unbelievable yesterday. It was packed. There was a huge attendance. There was media coverage from all over Los Angeles, and just a really, for the Valenzuela family, a heartening, and for Adrian, a very heartening experience. So Hammer will bring us up on that. And of course, there's the carryover sequence today, the graded stakes over the weekend. We talked about a little bit with Tom Quigley yesterday. Jay Privman, DRF Privman, and we'll get Jay's further thoughts. You probably read after the announcement on Monday when Brian Bouye had joined us from the National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame with the pretty surprising result of the contemporary candidates that only Heavenly Prize went in, and we'll get Jay's take. Jay, you know, very involved with the nominating committee and the steering and so forth. So we'll get Jay's. And Jay was clearly shocked by the fact that only one came through. So we'll talk about that. We'll get Jay's final Derby watch thoughts after last week as well. And I also want Jay, to, you know, one thing we haven't, I mentioned it in passing yesterday about the Gronkowski buy-in, the player, Rob Gronkowski buying in on Phoenix Thoroughbreds, Gronkowski. And I also reminded people about what had happened with the, with Audible, with the, the digital audio book and media company that got involved with Audible. So, you know, two out of the 20 horses have a mainstream media presence and so forth. And I just wanted Jay's thoughts on that. I mean, we've had sponsorships and there's been, you know, some of that, but this is pretty high profile on both scales. Let's just get Jay's thoughts. And Gus is going to be here. We haven't talked to Gus on air in ages. And, of course, he'll have Oaks and Derby Day analysis available at BrizNet. But we're going to check in with Gus before we wrap up today. So a full slate of action for the weekend preview before the sojourn off to Louisville. A couple of things from yesterday. I mentioned to you that Lone Star was underway, and there's Brett Calhoun again. And, you know, we've talked to Brett over the years about Super Mason. This is a Texas bred of Mr. Farish's, and now Brad Grady Brad Grady owns, and Super Mason is a six-year-old at this point, grasshopper gelding, 10 wins going into opening last night at Lone Star. And he won easy. In fact, he made $4.40 look like value. He just crushed. What a cool horse this is. 11 wins and 33 starts, and he's now at about $350,000 plus in earnings. Super Mason starts the season. Congratulations to Brad Grady. So Brad, who shared the title with Maggie Moss at Fairgrounds, starts the year at Lone Star with a splash. Meanwhile, I mentioned what went on at Keeneland and what's going on with Wesley Ward. He's out of control. His Ice Wine stable, what the luck. Looking at Lucky, this is a homebred of Ice Wines, New York bred, and this was open company, and what the luck, easy winner. And as it happened, this was a price for one of the rare prices of late on the Wesley Ward two-year-olds, because another Rapoli Pletcher entry was involved. And the other day, you had Todd and Rapoli win with a Ward entry that looked kind of ordinary. And in this case, it was the other way around. The Pletcher entry goes down at 2-5. And what the luck. Breaks on top, doesn't look back under Double D Dylan Davis. And while this is going on, at the same time, Rapoli and Pletcher were winning with a maiden down in Florida. You remember Mike Welch last night, yesterday, he mentioned that there was a pretty sassy bunch, looked like a nice group, going a mile, and legit, which was a $125,000 purchase. This is a Curlin colt, and who knows what you got here, but he won like a champ. And what was interesting was that Marcus Vitale had a first-timer who must have had some buzz, because was it Vitale? No, Vitale was second, actually. Vitale was not a firster, but Crafty Jack, even money. It took all the money. And legit pays 540. So keep an eye on that. I have to go look, see what kind of a number that. It must have been in the high 80s. Had to be, because this crafty Jack had run a 75 a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. This was a nice field. And then at Keeneland, Wesley Ward, this time for Riley McDonald with the majestic Warrior Filly, Athens Queen. Wire to wire. Paid $680. Some good allowance racing, too. And another maiden race on the turf. Did you see that? Chad Brown, every day this week, has had a nice-looking winner at Keeneland. Raging Bull. A Dark Angel colt for Peter Brandt. And Peter Brandt he's back. He's all in. This horse didn't go off favored either. The Mott Zayat, Irish Territory, went off favored. Raging Bull, 780. This was in the seventh. Ian Wilkes for the Farkas team and partners had a nice winner too. Midnight Lutgelding, big dollar bill, won well as second choice. And you had a firster in the nightcap for Georgie Abreu. Good job, George. Nice. This was Michael Dubb, Mike Caruso, and Sol Kumin. First-time starter, the man behind the man. Paid big, $1,560. That was a nice sequence. Very, very nice numbers, actually, at Keeneland yesterday. And today, another nice card with the Double Dog Dare, the Grade 3, goes off at 5:30. And have things moderated? Is it temperate there yet? Let me take a look here. Let's see. Lexington today. 60 degrees. All right. 60 and sunny. Headed in the right direction. At least it's better than 37 and freezing rain. Yeah, exactly. You know, yesterday near the end of the show, I mentioned I ran back up because I had a UPS delivery, and part of among the UPS delivery or with the rest of the mail, I can't thank Lenny Shulman enough. Lenny did a feature on me that I'm frankly embarrassed, but really I was really moved. Actually, I can't thank Lenny enough for taking an interest and writing about the show and what goes into it and everybody that's a part of it. I also got yesterday in the mail, Linda Carroll and David Rosner have got a new book coming out next month, just in time for Derby, Out of the Clouds, The Unlikely Horseman and the Unwanted Colt Who Conquered the Sport of Kings. These are the people that brought you Duel for the Crown, the Aladar Affirmed story. So a great book about Stymie, it looks like. I just glanced at it. Let's get started. Marty McGee kicks us off. Weekend preview at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Hey folks, Eddie Olchek here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Maryland for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Pick on SiriusXM Radio.
You never call my name.
We're back at the races, and Marty McGee on the other end of the phone as the Keeneland season enters its, I guess you can call it the final week between now and next Friday, and then things will open at Churchill on the now traditional Saturday night opening. Mart! What happened to Marty?
What's happening, Dick?
There he is. You're at Keeneland already, I'm guessing.
Dick?
There we are. Thank you. Now I can officially start. I did a couple of things in advance of your visit. One, I mentioned the what's going on at Churchill, and we'll obviously flesh that out next week with the changes, and we want people not to be surprised in terms of the shuttles and all the parking issues and you know how that's changed. But I also dug out some Wesley Ward numbers, Mart, and he is now, since basically April 1st, he's won with 8 of his last 16 first-time starters.
Yeah, I mean, is that two-year-olds only? Because that might include some three-year-olds.
It does. It does. It has to, yeah.
I mean, he hides from us all. We're down in Florida for, you know, January, February, March, and Wesley's up here running in the relative anonymity of Turfway Park with a few, and shuttling back and forth from Florida, which is where he lives. And you know, I still kind of can't figure out how or why he does that. You know, he's over there on Rice Road with a whole bunch of them. And obviously he's getting ready for this, for this month. And, you know, the numbers really bear him out in terms of his goals. And see, he won that race yesterday, right? I mean, I wasn't here yesterday, but I was watching. Yeah, I think he's won the last seven. I think he's won the last six or seven two-year-old races here. I mean, he's had multiple starters in a couple of them. But after he got beat in those first two on the opening Friday 2 weeks
yep.
ago. I think he's run the table. I'm almost sure
yep.
he has.
I think so, too. Yep.
And it's just a remarkable feat. You know, 10 years ago, Steve, for whatever reason, and I asked Ben Huffman about this, why do we seem to have bigger fields in these two-year-old races as opposed to, like I said, 10 years ago or so when Wesley began his dominance. And Ben said he wasn't really sure. You know, he said maybe something about the weather here. I don't know why. But Wesley's horses now are beating tougher fields than they used to when he first kind of started.
That's true.
You know, many years ago, when I was in college here at UK, a guy named Tony Basil was doing the same thing. Don Brumfield would ride them. I was talking to Chuck Scarabelli about this the other day. And, you know, they would get their two-year-olds ready, and they would dominate the way Wesley has. Now, there was a spell there when both Ronnie Warner, who, by the way, is an assistant now. I don't know why I was unaware of this, but I was. He's a top assistant for Ron Moquette now. And then Steve Asmussen went through a little spell where he was doing pretty much the same thing. And then Wesley, since, again, 2007, I think he's won 42 of these four-and-a-half furlong two-year-old races since 2007. So that's 12 meets. Now he's won 42. You divide that, that's almost four a meet. So, you know, you could argue that maybe the long-term effectiveness of that might not be good, but for some of these horses, but if you look down the list, I don't know if you got the names of the horses on there, but Judy the Beauty and Undrafted and Hootenanny, and there's another, I think, three or four name horses that have gone on to Lady Aurelia. They've gone on to have great careers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I mean, hats off to Wesley. Besides, he's a hell of a nice guy. You know, funny and everything else.
Well, I think part of that scenario about the bigger fields and the tougher fields, I think, has to do with some of the trainers that are using the two-year-old early season races and development as a business model. And you think about John Hancock and John Ross and some of these guys that get these horses started and then will sell them. And I think
absolutely.
That's part of it.
I mean, that's their bread and butter. That's John Hancock's MO, is to go ahead and get them started. And, you know, again, you could argue whether or not that's good for him, or, you know, but he sold the one to Gravelli a couple of years ago, and that makes their year, not their month. That makes their year. So, you know, and plus it puts his name out there when it wouldn't be otherwise. You know, nobody had heard of John Hancock until he started doing this.
Yeah, agreed. It's a big part of the storyline, and yeah, the racing's been good. The weather finally seeming to come around. Feels like the spring is maybe really here. And today, a good example. We got the Double Dog Dare. Then tomorrow, big field again for the Elkhorn. A couple of West Coast Invaders. That's been a big part of the storyline. And on that topic, Mart, some thoughts about last weekend. I really didn't get a chance to fully flesh out all of those results. We talked to Brian Lynch about Heart to Heart, who's just amazing. But of course, you had the exciting finish that pushes My Boy Jack toward Derby. I thought Joe Sharp with Triple Chelsea, always tough, good turf sprinter. McPeak wins the Ben L.I. with Rated R Superstar. And Sister Charlie and the Jenny Wiley.
And Sister Charlie leading a Chad Brown 1-2-3 sweep. And I wrote something about it in the aftermath. You know, nobody can remember any trainer going 1-2-3 in a stake around here, let alone a grade one. And what he's doing right now is just amazing. I think he's 10 for 18, something like that. And he could break the record at this track. There's been like you go back to Ben Jones, Wayne Lucas, Todd Fletcher, there's about five of them who hold the record for most stakes wins at the meet, and that number is four. And Chad currently has four, and he might be real tough tomorrow in the Elkhorn with the New York bred Call Provision. I think that is the penultimate stake for this meet, and then we have the closing A.B. Witch. I don't know what Chad intends to run there, but you know, it's on a par with what you're talking about with Wesley. It's just, you know, we're currently witnessing history being made with these things. So that was great. My boy Jack, I was really happy for Keith and Kent. I think the horse goes to Louisville with a big shot. His numbers aren't necessarily up to par with some of the half dozen or so favorites we've got going in the Derby. But as you well know, none of these horses have gone. The Hubby wrote a great story about him. I think it's in the Saturday DRF, talking to Keith about it. And, none of these horses have gone a mile and a quarter, and the pace might be really quick. I mean, we don't know how they're all going to position themselves, from the early running and onto the backside and all that. And if we have a meltdown, I think that the number one candidate to get by them all would be the DeSormo brothers.
Yeah, we're looking forward. We're heading out this afternoon, Mart, and we'll see how early I can get there tomorrow. There are some works that are potentially scheduled, and there was yesterday, as we were getting late in the show, the word started to come out of that loan, the sailor work that was eye-popping. And I saw that John Nichols, and John sent me some details, and I passed those along. Amos, fastest work that John can remember since Hard Spun went 57-3 back in 07.
Well, do you remember the Breeders' Cup of 94? And there was some filly, and she was really fast, and she went 3/8 to like 33 flat or something, like 4 days before the race. I remember she ran last. If you can look up whoever it was, whoever ran last in the 94 Breeders' Cup sprint, that's who I'm talking about. She had one of those works. Now, conversely, I really thought that work, having seen it on video, of Lone Sailor yesterday was terrific. He spotted a pair about 10 lengths down the backside, and he went by him with ease and without urging, and yep. I thought it was really, he is definitely going to be in my mix when I do the exotics. I mean, I'm going to throw him and my boy Jack. I mean, you've got a half dozen favorites, and we could run them down, but everybody knows who they are. But I'm going to throw those two in my mix with probably three or four of the favorites, and that's the way I'm going to play the race.
Well, I quickly looked up the 94 sprint.
Okay.
Was it Lock Song was last?
That was her. It was a filly, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was filly.
Yeah. She went like 33-2 4 days, and everybody was talking about it. And she ran absolutely. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen to Lone Sailor. I like him, and I think Tom's done a great job with it. And I think he's going to run big in the Derby. And I think he's really, he's training with the purpose of getting him to come from off the pace. And he sure looked like he's going to be able to do that in the way he worked yesterday.
Well, and of course, the way he finished at Fairgrounds, longer stretch than Churchill.
He got a little bit lost down there because, like Tom said, he made the lead a little bit too early. But, if things shape up differently, I think we might have had a different result this time.
Well, he's going to have the advantage of having, been on site. And, of course, the other players, Cassie with Flame Away, and we got Dale Romans with his pair on site, and D. Wayne with Bravazo. So I think a total of, five that are on the grounds.
Which is pretty – it's a pretty light roster, really.
When you think, for now.
I think My Boy Jack's going over tomorrow, and Good Magic's going to work here at Keeneland tomorrow morning, and Chad will be here for that. But otherwise, you've got them still out in California and, of course, down in Florida.
And we talked to Mike Welsh yesterday. He's got the three Todd workers coming up that – we discussed with him and Hofberg. Those are the last of the Florida horses, and starting to come together. Mart, a couple of thoughts about today, Double Dog Dare and Elkhorn tomorrow, and anything else that has caught your eye going into the weekend at Keeneland?
I thought Well Humored looked really good in January and winning the in that little stake at Tampa. She's my pick today for the red hot Windstar people, well humored, number 11, a field of 13. Jose Ortiz has the mount. I called Arno Delacour right after that race. It was the Wayward Last. I think it was on January 20th. And he said the double dog there. So here it is, you know, nearly 3 months later. And he's got her in there. I think she's going to be tough. I think Minds and Magic out of that race. And she's going to be the inside speed in here. And Robbie finally got off the duck yesterday. And I know that Vicki Oliver's always been real high on her. Valadorna, David Carroll really talked her up to me. I'm not, you know, she's never really hit that plateau that we all expected of her after the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies of 2016. I'd have to be against. Genda's Agenda is one of the favorites in here, too. You know, Florence had a terrific meet for Doug Bradar, and he's riding great. I don't know about her going this distance, though. So I'm more of an 11-2 kind of guy in the double dog there, with both of the Fairgrounds Allowance last out winners, Song of Spring and Promise of Spring, numbers 1 and 4 perhaps in the mix. So it's a terrific addition of the double dog there. Last year we had Unbridled Mo win in a field of 4, so this really provides quite a contrast in terms of depth this year.
Well, allowances dot it as well, 7th and 8th for the pick 4, and closes out with a maiden special for 3-year-old fillies on the grass. You've also got another division of 3-year-old fillies on the grass if you want to play the pick 5. Very nice bettable card today at Keeneland. And then tomorrow, talk about this Elkhorn. And I couldn't help but mention the presence of George Ricardo coming up from Brazil to ride for McPeak on the Brazilian-bred 6-year-old Sum in TMA.
Yeah, you know, Keeneland put out a little note about that, how I guess the owner just kind of ran it by Kenny, and he said, yeah, let's do it, because when the owners are Brazilian, and Jorge Ricardo has won nearly 13,000 races in the past. Russell Bayes is the all-time world leader in February in that category. And Manny Cruz had actually ridden, another Brazilian, had actually ridden some in TMA in winning the Louisville Handicap. I think it's been almost a year ago. So, yeah, that's a neat little sidebar to this. It's a field of 12. The two Californian, French-bred Californians, it's in the post. And Hayabusa won. They're the two favorites toward the outside of the gate. I guess the race runs through. It's in the post. I mean, he was terrific here last year in winning this race, but I think that the opposition's a bit stronger in here. As I mentioned, Call Provision for Chad could be real tough from the 3-hole with Jose Ortiz taking the call. Oscar nominated. He's Hickory. Canisar for Delacour in off a layoff after making a splashy debut last September at Laurel. The Bullard's Alley right on the threshold of going over the $1 million mark. It's a good race, Steve. And Mr. Scooter Dickey, one go all go. He's the pace setter in the big grass marathons down at Gulfstream this winter in both the McDermott and the Pan American. And yesterday I called Scooter and he said, I wish we could run it right now. I mean, this horse is just out of his skin. So again, It's in the post is the favorite. I did make him a tepid choice. You know, he's just really on a roll out there, but you know, again, I think it's just a great renewal of this mile and a half grade two Elkhorn here tomorrow at Keeneland.
A couple of things about this, and I'm glad you brought up Scooter, because the job he has done with one go all go is unbelievable. I mean, not to take away from Pavel Metka, because the horse was terrific for him, but for Scooter to take this horse at the end of his 5-year-old year and to get him to run basically, arguably, his 4 best races since the Fort Lauderdale, it's amazing. And I'm just every time Scooter, every chance he gets to display his horsemanship, he takes advantage. Want to point out one horse, because there really is not, there's horses that like to be in the flow, but not necessarily right on the pace. Dot Matrix that Brad Cox has got for Marshall Graham, 10 Strike Racing, and I happened to be with them last week at Oaklawn. They had the infield party, and Marshall didn't really tell everybody when the Aqueduct Stake, the Bridgetown, went to post. They end up upsetting that at a big price with Black Stetson. Dot Matrix is going to be a big price in here, and absolutely could be part of the flow here, I think. And there's no reason, if this doesn't heat up, there's no reason why this horse can't hang around. And same is true for Scooter with One Go All Go.
Yeah, One Go All Go, I think he makes the pace, and that Dot Matrix will have every opportunity to make this run.
Right behind. Yep.
Yeah, he ought to be. Yeah, so he'll have his chance. And Brad, as we all know, Brad's been on about a 3-year run. I mean, he just wins at 30%, and he just keeps winning. So yeah.
Well, always a big win when we talk to Marty McGee. And Mart, any donut or pastry requests for tomorrow or Sunday morning?
I'm gonna try and lay off as hard as I can.
Well, I'll make it as hard as possible.
All right, buddy.
I love it.
I'll see you over there.
Marty McGee, everybody, DRF McGee, as Keeneland winds down. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So if you haven't gotten over to Keeneland yet, make your move. We're going to make our move, come right back. And we've got to get to Scully and or Wendy Davis. I think we may want to get Wendy first. Let's get Wendy in first, all right? And because I think she's got something at the top of the hour. So I want to, and I don't want to put her in a bind. And we'll talk about the University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program and this 4-year full tuition scholarship that is going to be offered. Really nice. And she'll tell you about it. Wendy Davis joins us next. Later, Scully, Tamaro, Dunleavy, DeRosa, Hammer, Pribman, and Bogey, Gus Alonso. Going to get Gus in here back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Hey folks, Eddie Olczyk here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best 3-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Marilyn for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, $25,000. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Come on, baby.
We're back at the races, and about 15 to the top of the hour, a chance to really look at a beautiful opportunity for a student, because a full tuition scholarship, University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program, and Wendy Davis joins us from Tucson. Wendy, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on. It's really an exciting time around the racetrack program.
Well, this is a absolutely wonderful opportunity and a generous concept. Odds on Racing and a full boat, full tuition scholarship. Talk about how this came about, eligibility, and all the details.
Well, we had a very generous donor who understands that sometimes, even though you can be a good student and you know that once you get to school, you will probably get some scholarships, you know, there's still that barrier that a student may not be able to make that commitment. So the idea that you know that if you make the commitment to go to school, someone has made the commitment to help you finish. And that is just, that's terrific. So this scholarship is geared, and actually the eligibility is for out-of-state students, because we know how expensive college tuition can be these days. The value of this for a student is about $146,000, and that's if tuition doesn't go up over the 4 years. The value could in fact even be higher. So. And this is not a one-time offer. There are multiple scholarships through the years that will be available. So even students who may not be ready to go to school this upcoming semester and are looking at 2 or 3 years down the road, this will be available to them.
Now, just a wonderful gesture. And Dana Parham is behind this, yes?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And Dana's been in the racing business in a variety of different areas. Currently, his passion is an owner and a breeder. He has standard bred horses right now, and in fact, his racing stable is called Odds on Racing. So that's where the name of the scholarship came from. And we just couldn't be any more grateful to him to allow us to put this scholarship together and really allow a student to follow their passion and come into racing. It's his way of giving back to a sport that he loves.
Yeah, really nice. And you know, Dana Parham, a big bettor as well, and takes the game very seriously. And obviously with this kind of a gesture is, you know, looking to encourage others. We talk so often, Wendy, when it comes to the University of Arizona and RTIP, it doesn't have to be a matriculating high school student heading to college too, because the RTIP has attracted people that are changing career direction, they'd be eligible as well. And how do people apply? You know, what's that procedure going to be like?
Absolutely. I just want to follow up on what you said. So many of our students are truly what the university would term non-traditional. We don't get students right out of high school. We get folks who started school and then life got in the way, or finished a degree and it turned out that life was just too short to continue in that degree. So you're absolutely correct. We have a lot of students who come back, or second degree students, sometimes second career students. So all that population is certainly eligible to apply. And you would do that by going to the Racetrack Program website. We have a news page, and obviously this is one of our biggest news stories, and it'll get you right to the scholarship site, and you would apply. You also do need to be, obviously, accepted to the university, and there's some directions on the site to how to apply to the university. It's not too late. So the first time this scholarship is offered is for fall of 2018. So we've got some money right here waiting to go and waiting to support a student. So we do hope that we can get the word out, and folks who may have thought that this was out of reach for them, they can look at going to college and joining the racing industry in a whole new way, because it really is possible. For those students who think and know that the traditional time to apply for scholarships is usually the beginning of the year till about March, this one is still open. So I just want to let folks know that there is still time to apply for this through the middle of the summer.
I'm going to send the link, and I'm looking at the page now, and you know, for those that have ever been to the University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program website, ua-rtip.org. And if you're not able to get to Twitter or write things down, ua-rtip, just remember University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program with a dash, .org, and you'll get to it. And odds on racing scholarship, and the eligibility considered, officially considered an out-of-state student, currently enrolled or have been accepted. You are or will be an undergraduate or graduate student majoring in animal science and the racetrack industry program, GPA of 3.0 or better, and an immediate past semester GPA of at least 3.0. And to apply, it's a complete transcript and then an essay discussing your involvement and career goals in racing and what winning this scholarship would mean to you. And I'm sure this actually, when it comes to having to pick through and make those decisions, that won't be easy either. But to have this kind of opportunity, and it sounds as if it'll be an ongoing scholarship annually for a very lucky student that not only wants to be involved in the industry, Wendy, but has a need. And so it's really a generous, generous gesture by Dana Parham.
It is. We just couldn't be happier. So we're very, very pleased to be able to offer this.
In addition, while we're together, bring everybody up to date. I mentioned that the students, I ran into a bunch that were actually at Santa Anita during break. They run over to on Big Cap Week, and they were actually heading back. They couldn't stay for Big Cap Day, but good to see the kids that, you know, that are in the midst. And they certainly must be planning for summer internships. Talk about what kind of a year it's been at U of A.
Well, it's been a really exciting academic year. Not only have they been able to make some trips on their own as they can, we're getting close to the end of the semester, so some students stayed and studied, and others were able to make some road trips, but as a group, we had a number go over and assist with Breeders' Cup. And it was not just for Breeders' Cup, the 2 days of Breeders' Cup, but the week prior. So not only did they help Breeders' Cup get trainers and owners and dignitaries to where they needed to be prior to the big days, but they also got to have a glimpse behind the scenes of how you put on an international event. So that was a great opportunity for them. And a lot of those have parlayed that into opportunities for this summer. We've got a number of students going to racetracks on both coasts, and about half the students this semester or for this summer are going to spend some time with trainers. So our students really look both ways. Some want to go and do marketing and media and the wagering side, and the other half really are quite interested in going into the hands-on part. So like I said, both coasts, we're going to have California covered. We're going to have New York covered with some major trainers this summer. And that's really exciting for students to be able to, you know, get hands-on with some of those horses that you think, you know, you're only going to see on TV, and you actually get to work with them. And that's really a once-in-a-lifetime for some of these guys.
And for those that, you know, only hear the commercials and we haven't had an RTIP conversation in recent months, but anybody that hears about the program, it can encompass any aspect. You can take the coursework, and whether you want to work hands-on with the animals, if you want to be in a barn, you want to train, you're talking about Chuck Simon, Todd Pletcher, so many more. You want to work in the racing office, Rick Hammerly. You want to work in the back end, Dan Silver and Eric Zimney. You go all around the industry. Our friend Lori Fry, she's in the equine insurance business. And there is not a role in the industry that RTIP graduates do not engage. It's amazing. And so whatever your interest, some may come, Wendy, to Arizona thinking they want to be in one side of the business and then get intrigued as part of the coursework into another area.
Absolutely. And some of those changes are really great. We've had some who've come and they've really thought that being a trainer was the direction they wanted to go. They took some of the racing law classes and were just intrigued. And they've actually gone on to law school and then have come back. One of our graduates is now a hearing officer for the CHRB. So you just never know what will strike your fancy once you understand how broad the opportunities are.
Well, the opportunity to win a scholarship, full boat, the full tuition scholarship, Odds On Racing, Dana Parham making this opportunity available. It's just wonderful. And Wendy, as always, great to connect, and we'll direct everybody to ua-rtip.org. Everything you need to know if you're a parent listening and you know that your son or daughter, you know, has got some interest in the game, you didn't know this existed, look into it. And many kids end up heading to Arizona on that from that standpoint, you know, knowing that they're intrigued and they had no way, you know, no roadmap to get into the game and into the industry, no better way. Wendy, I appreciate it, and we thank Dana Parham for this incredibly generous gesture and going to change somebody's life.
Great. Thank you so much for having me on this morning and helping me get the word out, because we're really excited.
Yeah, you should be. It's really nice. Full tuition scholarship, RTIP. And Odds On Racing, really great. Let's take a break here. Top of the hour, we got James Scully, we got Nick Tamaro, Jim Dunleavy, Ed DeRosa.
next hour. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
NairaBets is your online home for horse racing and betting. With NairaBets, you can play hundreds of tracks from anywhere, at any time, using your computer or mobile device. Players earn points on bets and build their bankroll with exclusive promotions. NairaBets is available across the United States. Visit NairaBets.com for details and make sure to enter promo code BIC100 during registration to qualify for the $100 sign-up bonus. That's NairaBets.com, promo code BIC100. NairaBets, racing's best play.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.